Are you wondering what your career path should be? How to create it? Well, our guest today is an NYU Stern MBA and Associate Certified Coach. She also is doing some assistance with career services at Columbia Business School. And she's, in addition, the founder and CEO of Woken, an online platform to help you discover and pursue a career you will love. Let's learn her story and see how this interview will help you find that amazing career.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Welcome to the 354th episode of Admission Straight Talk. Welcome back to our many regular listeners, and welcome to any first-time listeners. We appreciate you all coming. I'd like to start by sharing our latest podcast review and thanking the author, Erica, grad school applicant. She wrote, "I listened to every episode of the Admission Straight Talk podcast when I started my physician assistant program application process and gained so much from it. There was a plethora of detailed information and so many great tips and tricks to developing the best application possible. I found that the information was largely unique to this podcast, as I did not come across it anywhere else in my many months of grad school research. It is very clear that Ms. Abraham and the Admission Straight Talk team are experts in their field. Even while listening to the episodes about earning an MBA or other programs that did not directly pertain to my area of interest, I still felt the information was insightful and useful. This podcast, as well as help from Carol, an accepted admissions counselor, made a significant impact on my applications, which led to me being accepted to several, very competitive, I might add, PA schools. Thank you, Ms. Abraham, for all your hard work and for everything that you offer grad school applicants. Erica, you are most welcome, and thank you for not only listening to Admission Straight Talk, but sharing this wonderful feedback about the podcast. I really can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I'm also glad that you enjoyed working with Carol and benefited from it. Changing the topic, if you're planning to apply to business school this upcoming fall and winter, have I got a webinar for you. Tomorrow, March 4th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, I am presenting 7 steps to MBA acceptance in 2021. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do to be ready to apply next cycle. Admission is free, but you do have to register. And yes, if you're listening to this recording, after the webinar took place, you can view the recording. Grab your spot at accepted.com/7stepsMBA. It takes just a second to do so, so do it now. It's really easy. One last little bit of info before we turn to our guest. I want to share that Admission Straight Talk just had its 500,000th download. Say that 5 times fast. We're very excited about it, and I want to thank you, our listeners, for listening and making that possible. Now to our guest. Our guest today, Rachel Surwitz, graduated from Binghamton University after majoring in human development and minoring in Spanish, management, and global studies. She then worked for Goldman Sachs for 3 years, followed by shorter stints at other companies, and earned her MBA at NYU Stern in technology in 2019. She also founded Woken way back in May 2013 and has served as its CEO ever since. Rachel, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Thanks for joining me. Let's learn a little bit just about your background. Where did you grow up? What do you like to do for fun? You know, things like that.
I grew up in Long Island, New York, in Hewlett, a very exciting place. You know, I've got a few jobs at the moment. So with my limited time outside of work, honestly, I wish it was more exciting, but I try to just really hang out with family and friends, work out when I can, explore the city, travel. I wish there were time that I could fit in some more interesting hobbies, but work has sort of taken over.
Okay. Now, let's go back a little bit to your time at Goldman Sachs. Were you in a HR role there? I mean, obviously, that's your focus now. But did you start out in HR? Were you an investment banker at Goldman Sachs? What were you doing there?
Good question. So that was my first job, and I was in operations. So I did cash management. I was part of the treasury and the liquidity team. And, you know, that doesn't have much to do with what I do now. And it wasn't really what I necessarily had an interest in. But when I started, I knew I liked the idea of operations. In hindsight, I think I probably should have went more for those, you know, HR type teams and paths. But at the time, I didn't really know that that was right for me. So I was able to land in operations and it was a really good experience, but I was lucky at that point to take on projects that ended up relating to HR. But I took on those projects just because I found them interesting. I wanted to help our teammates to develop skills and to coach them and to help with recruiting. And so I just dove into things that, you know, seemed interesting to me. And then after a few years of doing that, I realized I was ready for the next thing. And I realized that a lot of what I had been doing was in the HR realm. And so I was lucky to be able to pivot more closely into that world after I left Goldman.
Did you go back to NYU Stern for your MBA to get specifically more training in, let's say, career services and HR, or was there another goal? And if you were so interested in HR, why did you go for the one-year tech degree? You know, HR isn't known as the most techy of fields. Now, as it happens, my son is a programmer for Cornerstone On Demand, which I think is one of the largest HR software companies. But anyway, that's a side point.
So there's a few answers to this. So first and foremost, I actually always sort of knew I wanted an MBA. So I actually took my GMAT my senior year of college.
Oh, wow.
Because I wasn't a business major. I just had this intuition that I really just wanted more education and I had a strong interest in business. I didn't really know where it would lead or where I'd be at the time of getting that degree, but I just really knew there was more for me. And I knew I had that business orientation, even though it didn't end up being my major. And so I knew from early on that I wanted that experience. Once I had ended up working more in HR and learning about coaching and developing, you know, that's when I started really getting interested in the problems I was helping people when I was coaching. So I was helping with career exploration. I started to get interested in how can I systematize and scale and create products out of what I was doing. And that's when I started to say, okay, I can combine my interest in coaching and career exploration with products and technology, creating a business, you know, concept out of that. And that's when, you know, I had known I wanted the MBA, but then I found the tech MBA program and it just seemed like this perfect mix of everything I wanted.
Are you on some level taking an operations approach to career management?
Yes. So it's funny because so when I was at Bridgewater, you know, they use a lot of tools, digital tools to systematize people-oriented processes. Over there, it's very much focused on feedback. But when I was there, I saw how they used tools to think about people processes. And that's when my wheels started turning because I've been helping people with career exploration ever since I graduated. So once I saw the problems people were facing, and then I saw how technology can really support people-oriented processes, I just started to explore how can I systematize a process that I'm guiding people through manually in a way that they can feel empowered to take these steps in their career on their own. So it's a coaching perspective. It's a coaching approach by leveraging technology to facilitate a process for the individual.
All right. So it's a combination, really, in terms of your approach of coaching, technology, and to a certain extent, systematizing or operations, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, the tech MBA that you did at NYU Stern is a one-year program. Are you happy you had this tech focus? And did the one-year time frame seem very pressurized? Do you have any second thoughts about pursuing the one-year as opposed to the two-year program?
So am I happy I did the tech program? I mean, yes. I think tech is the way of the future for every company. I think almost every company is becoming a tech company, whether they want to or not. And so to me, it just felt like the, you know, learning about the future of business, no matter what, right? So I felt that was great, especially for me trying to build a tech business. So I was really happy to leverage that program. You know, thinking back to the 1 year versus the 2 year, of course, there was pressure. But what's funny is that I came out of that 1 year with this new mindset of you have to make the most of every single day because we were jam packing 2 years of value into 1 year's time. So now I've got this amazing mindset of like live your life every day. You know, yes, there was pressure to get so much done. I don't regret it. I mean, I was able to save a little money on the time. And I think I got a lot out of it. You never know what would have happened with the second year. There's so much that probably could have and would have happened. But I think I had an amazing, you know, MBA experience. I loved my cohort. And yeah, I don't have any regrets.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. Do you remember anything particularly challenging about the MBA application process itself? What was the hardest part for you?
Yeah, it's funny. Like even the undergrad application process was stressful for me. This was stressful for me. The part that I think was just most stressful was how much sort of just administrative nature to it, like just getting it all done. And one application felt like so much work that I wish I could have applied to more places, but I was so exhausted by the process that I only really ended up applying to very, very few places. So it's just a lot. It's a lot to do. It's overwhelming. You know, what's funny is the essay itself was less of what was overwhelming for me because, you know, if I'm in the career clarity game, you would hope I have some myself. And I did, and I do. So that part wasn't as hard, but it was just, it's just a lot. It's overwhelming. You know, they say the hardest part's getting in, right? So.
Right. And some level, that's true. Did you just make a schedule for yourself, make a list? How did you handle the time demands or what did you do?
Well, I actually did apply 2 years in a row to a few different places. That's number one. And I always remind people that's okay. And what else did I do? I had some schedules. I tried to organize myself. I leveraged accepted.com.
Okay.
And it was super, super helpful, especially like on the essay help. And honestly, I just did my best to get as few applications done as I could. Like I was just like, just get one done or just get two done and manage through it.
What did you like most about your MBA experience at NYU Stern?
The people I was with was just so amazing. Like we had this small cohort as part of the 1 year program. And somehow there was still such diversity within our group. It felt like we were each a piece of a puzzle. And, you know, I was sort of like the token HR person in our class. And so it was just so amazing to come together with a group who had a similar mindset and interest in innovation and technology and business, but different experiences and backgrounds and different mindsets and different perspectives on various things. So to be sort of aligned with a cohort in terms of sort of why we were there and being able to have just stimulating conversations about lots of topics was what I was there for. And there was a culture about our class that was just truly amazing. So, you know, there was real love there.
Could you describe the culture?
Yeah, I think our class was a down-to-earth group who was just genuinely deeply interested in the future of business and innovation and society and where tech plays in. Does it play in? What are the impacts? How do we go about this? What is it already doing and what is it not doing? What should it do and when and how and why? And just really questioning all those things. So it was sort of just our shared interest. And yet we approached it in different ways. There was different ways that played out, different industries that we were interested in. And yet there was a shared common feeling of let's question this stuff together and how it impacts our future and business and society and all this stuff. So being a part of that conversation for a year was really cool and really special. And, you know, there was just sort of a genuine bond amongst everyone. We also just got along super well and had a lot of fun and traveled and did so many fun things together and just got along really well. So, I mean, that's invaluable.
What would you like to have seen improved about your MBA experience?
Oh, let's see. So we were the first year of the tech MBA. So we were guinea pigs. And, you know, there were certain things, of course, that weren't perfect, but we sort of knew that going in and it was, we were able to sort of laugh at certain things when it didn't go perfectly well. It's hard for a new program to figure out the best way of teaching business students about technology. That's not easy with a mixed variety of skills within technology. So there was challenges that we all had to come together on. For me, I was starting a business. So how do you teach somebody about business? And yet, how do you teach somebody how to start a business, run a business? I mean, that's what I was there for. And that's not easy to execute on. I try to teach entrepreneurship now to undergraduate students. And it's not easy to do, but it's also not easy to teach. So, you know, I tried to grasp as much as I could, and I'm still learning. There's always things you look back and say, all right, I wish I focused more on this. I wish I learned more about that. But I think, you know, for as much as I could have gotten out of the 1 year, I think I tried to get as most as humanly possible. I leveraged every entrepreneurship program at NYU. So, you know, I did my best to take advantage of everything I could.
Can you tell us about Woken? That's your business. What is it? How does it work? We've kind of skirted around the edges of that, but can you tell us, dive in?
Yeah. So Woken is a web-based career exploration platform. We help guide professionals through a step-by-step process to figure out which career path they actually want to pursue. So the steps are based in learning and reflection, and that's an iterative process. And that really leads somebody to find clarity and confidence in which path is right for them, which path they'll be happy in, which path suits them. I mean, whatever phrase you want to use, but we just see so many young working professionals, sometimes mid-career professionals, who are in the wrong spot. They're in the wrong role, the wrong company, the wrong industry, and sometimes so drastically far from where they know they should be or could be, but they don't know what they want or how to figure out what they want. We just try to make that process easy and manageable and hopefully fun and enjoyable and mostly easy, and just giving you the tools and the process so you can reach that outcome of clarity.
Okay. How did you think of this idea?
It's sort of been a long time coming, like in the works, so to speak, because ever since I graduated, well, even before I graduated, I was actively trying to figure out how to figure out my own career, how to land at Goldman. I did a ton of networking to think about job search myself. And then once I landed there, I was referred to tons of friends and friends of friends to help them with their career journeys. So over the years, I was seeing the problems people were facing, and I realized they were struggling with job search because they didn't know what job they wanted. And when you're asked for help over the few years, you come up with solutions, you come up with frameworks, and you come up with ways of helping people. And I was naturally good at it, and that just spiraled and it built on itself over time. So that helped me develop some frameworks. And then I got coaching training. So I learned the fundamentals of how to really help somebody achieve goals. And then I started exploring what could this look like as a web platform. And how can we give somebody a tool to guide them through this process? So, you know, it just keeps growing and developing and enhancing itself over time. But it's just been sort of organic a little bit.
So if I were a young professional and struggling to figure out what I want to do, and I can remember, you know, a time when that was exactly what I was. I was probably a senior in college and I had decided I didn't want to be a lawyer. But I didn't know what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. It's more, I think, more specifically what I should have been thinking about. I went to Woken. What would I pay? What would I do? What would I find?
Yes.
How would I use it?
Yes. So our first step is, you know, first helping you commit, you know, to the process. How is this going to sort of fit into your life? Because it does take time. And then we really start by reflecting on your interests. So we have an assessment. It really just helps you think about what it is that you love doing, what types of content you love, things like that. And we tease that out in several ways. From there, we make sense of those interests and we actually translate your interests into potential roles and industries. So right away, we've got options that directly relate to things you're interested in. And then from there, we want you to learn more about those options. So we would guide you through different steps, ideally bite-sized steps, where you're doing research, networking as a way to learn, and experiential learning, as well as reflection. So then it becomes an ongoing learning process. And as you're learning, we're helping you process what you're learning and what it means and what to do about it. It's a fluid process. You might learn about things you really like and things you don't like. So we learn and we reflect and we iterate over a few weeks or a few months. And that's really what leads our clients to say, okay, I think I know which path I want to go pursue.
Okay, great. Now, are you meeting with clients or is it all online? Is it at all kind of an automated process or is there some combination of online filling out forms and feedback and then human intervention?
Good question. So we want to use technology where it works, but we definitely don't want to over-engineer or automate things that shouldn't be automated. So we leverage technology to say, here's your platform, here are the resources, here's what you need to do. But we've got myself as the coach behind the scenes reviewing the work that you're doing and supporting you. So I'm still there checking in, answering questions, making sure you feel supported, accountable, motivated, and really answering your questions and helping you think through everything you're doing. So it's a combination of both.
Okay, great. Now, how has NYU Stern's resources helped you with Woken, or have they? I should probably start with that one first, but.
A ton at NYU for entrepreneurship. So we leveraged the Leslie eLab for a boot camp. We were part of the Stern Venture Fellowship over the summer. We participated in the Berkeley Lab 300K competition. We were part of the Tandon School competition intervention. You know, we leveraged so many different resources. I did, you know, classes and clubs, you name it. I could probably go on. Mentors, there was just so much. And I did as much as humanly possible when I was there because this was my focus at school. They provided me resources and knowledge and workshops and connections and guidance for the early stages of what can I do to begin and how can I get this off the ground.
So you definitely were in NYU Stern. You already had started Woken. I think online I saw it started in 2013, right?
Like the technology aspect of it, basically the spring before I started the Tech MBA. So while I had been coaching people for years, the productization of it was newer to the process. So I was toying around with how do I start this company? And we visualized our first prototype the spring of 2018, so 2 years ago. And that was a few months prior to starting at Stern. I started in May 2018. So, you know, so I was doing my best to start beforehand. And then by going and attending Stern, I really was able to get even more resources, more support, more momentum, you know, to push forward.
Okay. Now, on one hand, Stern was giving you all these tools and all these resources. On the other hand, it also takes time to pursue an MBA, right? Yeah. How did you manage the demands of B-School and running a business?
Yes.
And then later on, you're now out of school, but you had your business is not supporting you entirely. So you have multiple jobs. One is as a professor at the University of Binghamton that we've discussed. You also mentioned to me before we went live that you're working with Columbia Business School's Career Services. So let's do the B-School first thing first and then the second chapter.
So how did I manage the time? Well, an MBA in general is a game of prioritization and choosing your, you know, time wisely, picking your time wisely, especially in the 1 year. So that was already there. And so, you know, while my peers were recruiting, I was building the company. And, you know, it was long days. Every day was packed, but we wanted to gain that value anyway. So it was just a matter of how do you choose your time. Before I had any clients, I was able to really decide the pace of the business and how much we spent on it and how fast we wanted to grow. The minute we started having clients, that changed a bit. And so the spring semester of my MBA, my peers will tell you, I was a little more checked out than the fall. So, you know, it happens and it's all about choices. And that, I think, is one of the biggest lessons an MBA will teach you. And so now, how do I manage it all? I mean, we are a startup that is bootstrapping. So that means that I am bootstrapping myself. I support myself with different jobs. And the company was able to actually earn some money through different programs, right? So we're just continuing to the best that we can. But of course, our resources sort of determine our pace. And so I just sort of manage it all. You know, I wish there was a better answer, but I kind of just balance it all to the best of my ability.
You keep all the balls in the air, huh?
Somehow.
Did you choose not to go for outside funding or did that just not work out for you?
In the MBA program, well, I've never tried. So in the MBA program, I tried to learn what to do and what not to do. And there's a lot of horror stories that you hear about raising institutional money. Right. And I do think that that's something that we will do. It's just from what I learned, many people will tell you, founders, you know, as long as you can to be on your own, be on your own. As long as you can build and gain momentum and make progress and provide value and do the things you're supposed to be doing, then do it, right? Because investment brings in other factors. So that's our goal right now, is to push forward as much as we can. And, you know, the rest will sort of come down the line.
Right. Okay. What top tips can you give listeners who are trying to clarify their professional goals before pursuing graduate education? You should know, if you I don't know if you remember or knew it at the time, but I'm a big believer that every graduate student should have a professional goal. This is not a place to discover yourself. This is not a place to just, I mean, there is a small percentage that can pursue a graduate degree just for personal interest, but most people can't afford it, either the time or the money. So let's deal with the 99% of people who are doing it because they want to get some professional benefit out of it. How do you determine, you know, what your goal should, anyway, I know that's your whole business, so I don't expect you to do the whole thing, but top tips.
So I agree with you. I always say that an MBA is a really expensive way to figure out your goal or your path. And I would say if you're going to do that experience, know what you want out of it, know why you're there, know what your career clarity is. And I'm happy to talk about how to get there. But I just really want to reiterate that you can find career clarity before you go, and you should, because you want to leverage this experience in the right ways, leverage the time, leverage the classes, the clubs, the recruiting in a way that will serve you, you know, by having done the exploration beforehand. It will make everything else just so much better and so much more worth the time and the money. So that being said, for career clarity, you really, you know, I take an interest-based approach. I believe that if you care about what you're doing and you're interested in it, you'll be more successful and engaged in your job and happy in your job.
Of course.
So think about your interests, think about what you love doing, and then secondarily, what types of content areas do you love? I like to separate those two because one relates to the roles and the second relates to the industries. And so reflect on your interests and then think about what real world opportunities allow me to do those things or be in those environments or solve those problems or act in that same vein. So continue to reflect on those things. Have some options in mind and simply learn and reflect. If you can learn and reflect iteratively, you will reach a point of clarity and confidence. And if you're not at 100% clarity yet, you haven't learned enough or reflected enough. And so to the extent you can keep doing those two things, if you have multiple options, there's going to be differences between those options. Learn. The more you can learn about those differences, the more you will realize which one's better or worse for you. So, you know, research, networking, experiential learning, and reflection, those are the core steps. But approach those, use those steps as a way of learning, and then reflect and stay fluid. If you learn about things you like or you don't like, just continue to get closer and closer and closer to what you think you want. And then, you know, Steve Jobs says you'll know when you find it. You'll know when you get there. So it's a feeling, and you have to keep pursuing it with persistence and patience until you know you've reached that outcome.
So it seems like, you know, researching and figuring out what is a good field and a good industry for you is kind of foundational and really, really important. Can you give us some examples of good ways to do that exploration?
Absolutely. So we always just start by a little bit of online researching. That can only get you so far, but it's a great place to start when you're first considering different options. There's a lot of information out there, but it's not always the real nuanced information, because then you really just want to hear from real people. The issue from hearing from real people is that you also want to connect the dots across companies, because one person might say one thing and the other might say another. So if you can talk to 5, 10, 20, 30 professionals in the options that you're considering, you know that might be all it takes is 20 people. And that does take time, but that's not crazy. The ROI on doing that is, you know, if these are prospective MBA students, the ROI is so worth it, okay? So talk to professionals, ask them lots of questions, just genuinely learn. What are the jobs like? What are the companies like? What are the industries like? Ask, treat it like a research project. And then as you do that learning, if you think, okay, I think I want to pursue this path, how can you gain some experience? Could you shadow somebody? Could you do an online course? Could you actually do a project where you start to do that type of work and you make sure you actually really like it? And of course, there's reflection throughout this whole process, because you may learn about things or try things that you do or don't like. So continuously stay fluid in what does that mean as you're learning. But that's, as you know, it sounds simple, but if you commit to that process for roughly about 3 months, I mean, you just wouldn't believe the outcomes and the insights and the relief and the excitement you could feel by the end of putting in that effort.
It's also important to realize what you don't like. I mean, sometimes people try something and they don't like it and they're very disappointed, but actually it's a very valuable lesson.
Yes, but we ideally want to learn that before you.
Absolutely. No. I completely agree. If you learn that after you've done your MBA or after you've gone to medical school or after you've gone to law school, it's an extremely expensive lesson. I'm talking about doing that learning before you make a major commitment. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I see so many people who have gotten a graduate degree, sometimes two graduate degrees, sometimes working in careers for years on end, knowing that they don't like it, putting in time and money. I mean, the opportunity cost of what you're doing. I mean, each person has such amazing potential. So where should your time and energy go? I mean, I see so many people who have wasted so much time and money. So that's what pains me. And I don't want people to do that, you know?
Right. I can remember a friend of ours years ago, a couple of friends of ours, where as a result of parental pressure, they became lawyers. Both of them didn't want to do it, didn't like it at all. And I'm not saying it was entirely wasted, because obviously you learned something valuable, but it was not worth 3 years and whatever the tuition was at that time. And I think in both cases, they also practiced for a little bit, which they also didn't like. Yeah, they had it, but I mean, it was such a waste. It was such a waste.
Yeah. I think about the reasons that people go into the wrong paths. And I think that from a young age, we lack the right information. We lack the right support. We also have pressures, whether it's on ourselves or from other people. Right. So all of these things, there's so many reasons of why we might be directed in the wrong ways. That's unfortunate. And we're trying to do our best to fix that and get ahead of that. But it's real. There are several reasons of why this is happening today. And, you know, right now we're serving sometimes as a Band-Aid approach to help people fix that. We want to help people from the beginning, but often that's not the case just for all these different reasons. But to the extent you can really try your best to remove what feels like pressure from others and really just focus on yourself, because the only person that matters in the end of the day is you as an individual. What is your journey? You're the one who's going to do the work and get paid to do it and feel the feelings of either if you hate it or love it or somewhere in between. And you're the person that matters. And of course, sometimes we have responsibilities to take care of our family. But I always say the most secure path is the one that you're the most interested in, because I believe that that drives even more success than the path that you think is secure and ends up hating and not doing well at. So, you know, you have to really think about the impacts of these choices and why you're making the choices.
What would you have liked me to ask you?
I don't know. I think I've shared a lot with you guys about what it is that I do and what I believe in. So I feel like I'm giving you my top tips, because
good.
The main takeaway here is that I just want everyone to know it sounds fluffy, but it is possible to actually enjoy your job. And the reality is we see people who hate their jobs and we think that that's what work is, but it takes up too much time in our life to have it any other way. And if 85% of employees are disengaged at work and 15% are engaged, that means 100% could be engaged at work. It's just, we have to figure out how those people got there and how you can get there. So just take your life into your own hands and figure out what you need to get you there and really know what it is that you want and what you deserve, what you think work should feel like. And just sort of question that journey for yourself versus looking around you and seeing what you think other people are accepting as the status quo or what paths they're pursuing, especially in an MBA program. There's three paths people think they could pursue. But, you know, the MBA is such an amazing place to pivot. So figure out what it is you care about. And then it's somewhere in the world. Everything is an option to you. So what is it that you care about? What problems do you want to solve? And who else is solving them and thinking about them? And how can you go join them? I mean, it's as simple as that, but you have to open yourself up to that question and to answering that question and to going through that process.
So those, just, that questioning is valid, whether you're thinking of an MBA or an MD or a JD or the whole alphabet soup of graduate degrees or career paths, period. Maybe you don't need the graduate degree. Maybe your career path is one where you can be perfectly happy and achieve your professional and life goals, personal goals, without a graduate education.
I help people reposition themselves and pivot without a graduate degree. I mean, it's, yes, you need to ask yourself, what do I want? Is a degree necessary to get there? If it's not necessary, do I still want the experience or not? You know, but figuring out what you want first. Don't just see a degree as like a way out or a way to choose a path. Like, yes, it is a path, but learn about that path before you invest the time and the money. Especially, all of this will also make your applications and your essays a million times easier and the job search.
That's right.
Because if you know where you want to go and why, your essay wrote itself. I mean, your interview speaks for itself. I mean, the candidate who knows what they want and why they're there is the person that I believe gets hired. That's the bottom line.
All right. Rachel, I don't want to impose on your generosity any further. We'll link to Woken from the show notes at accept.com/354. Listener, thank you too for joining Rachel Surwitz and me for Admission Straight Talk's 354th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please do as Erica, grad applicant, did. Leave a review for us. FYI, if you mention your company or favorite social media platform and your account, I'm happy to do a shout out for it. Your leaving those reviews helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk. And a quick reminder, don't miss March 4th's 7 Steps to MBA Acceptance in 2021. Reserve your seat now by registering at accept.com/7stepsMBA. It takes just a second. Like I said, it's really easy, so do it now. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.